Good morning. Welcome to St. Paul's, and welcome to our visitors who are here with us or joining us online this morning. From the time a couple learns that they're going to be having a baby, they start planning and looking forward. What name are we going to choose? What's the nursery going to look like? Do we have enough diapers? And before you know it, you're in the next size up with diapers. Things just move quickly with a little one. This morning, we want to consider how we can be planning for the young people and for the next generation, and even after that. And we ask, Lord, grow us forward for future generations. We'll follow the order of service as it's printed out for you in your worship folder or projected on the wall. Let's begin with our opening hymn, 511. Of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
We have come into the presence of God who created us to love and serve him as his dear children, but we have disobeyed him and deserve only his wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to him and plead for his mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways, I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me, according to your unfailing love, cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to his will. In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. Jesus, you welcomed the little children to come to you and receive your kingdom. Lead parents and congregations to direct all the young in your saving grace and guidance, for you live and reign with the Father and the Spirit, one God, now and forever. We take your seats for the scripture lessons. Our first lesson today is taken from Deuteronomy chapter 6. These words will serve as the basis for our sermon today. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. This is the word of the Lord. We sing Psalm of the Day, Psalm 78, together. Love to update each other and different family members about how the children are doing. Are they learning to read or learning to ride their bike, maybe starting to dribble a basketball. We love to hear how the children are doing, but as Christians, nothing gives us greater joy than to know our children are walking in the truth of God's word. Our second lesson today is from 3 John, verses 1 through 4. The elder, to my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth, dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. It gave me great joy when some believers came and testified about your faithfulness to the truth, telling how you continue to walk in it. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. This is God's word. We continue with the anthem.
Thank you.
Please stand in honor of the gospel. The gospel today from Mark chapter 10 reminds us that Jesus welcomes little children. We think of not only all the little children among us, but all over our community. And no matter how old we get, Jesus says, "Trust me, like a little child." People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly, I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. This is the gospel of the Lord. You take your seats for our hymn of the day, 506.
And mercy and peace are yours, from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, fellow believers in him. I want you to think of a time, the last time you went to another church, for whatever reason. Outside the wells, in the wells, for a wedding, funeral, whatever reason. And I want you to forget about the word of God that was preached there for a second, and just with your experience in walking away from it, can you think of one that you walked away from? Again, not thinking of what was preached. Think of a time where you walked away from another church just shaking your head, disappointed. Is it the slow organ playing? Is it the off-key choir? Was it walking in as a guest and nobody greeting you, or walking in and having no clue where to go, what corridor to take because there wasn't appropriate signage? Was it the pastor who looked down like this and read his sermon the entire time? Was it the bathrooms that were unclean? Was it the carpets that weren't vacuumed? The word of God we have before us today is a very impressive one. And if you take the 10,000-foot picture and just looking at the whole scripture that was read from Deuteronomy 6, you can actually see why God would walk away from a congregation in that church service, shaking his head in frustration. And it's not because of the organ or the choir. It's not because of the guests being greeted or poor signage in the church. It's not because of the pastor looking down. It's not because of the bathrooms or the carpets. Those are all symptoms of something else. What God is looking at and evaluating in that worship service, certainly the word of God that's preached, but we're talking aside from that. He's looking at the people. He's looking at you. He's looking at the parents. He's looking at the aged. He's looking at the children. He's looking at the teenagers. And what he's evaluating and looking for is whether they treasure him, whether they treasure the word of God, whether there's love in their hearts, a unity among the people and with him, because that love and that unity can only come from the word of God. Now imagine what that congregation would look like if they treasure the word of God. How impressive that place would be. Imagine, on the other hand, a congregation that doesn't. From the very first verse of our lesson today in Deuteronomy 6, God wants you to know that he has his house in order. This verse is one of the most popular verses of the entire Old Testament for a Jewish believer. In fact, it looks like they would say this verse twice a day, every day. It was that important. God wants you to know something about him when he says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." What does that mean? It means that God, the triune God, three in one, is one. Holy, united, undivided, loving God. And he impresses those characteristics, holiness, unity, love, on all of his people and disciples. So much so that he follows up who he is and how he gets along with himself in the Godhead. He impresses that on his church when he writes, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts." The house of God then isn't where believers come to merely go through the motions. The house of God is not where we come for just outward behavioral modifications, as if you come here only to hear, "Do this, don't do that, you must just obey the commandments of God." That's not what we're here for. If that's all we've come here for, then we're no better than Pavlov's dog. And this is just dog training school, obedience school. If that's the case, then we've turned the house of God basically into a place for only adults and the mature and grown-ups, because they're the only ones who can do it, right? Obey the commands. Or at least they're the only ones who really think they can. Maybe that's why the disciples in the gospel lesson for today had such a difficult time and were so frustrated when those parents brought those children to come see Jesus. I mean, kids have to learn. They don't know all the ins and outs yet. And you know what children do? They don't always obey, even as they are in the process of learning. And so can you imagine these moms and dads as they're bringing their kids and putting them in the arms of the disciples, or trying to put their hand in the disciples' hand saying, "Take these kids to Jesus. Will you please go take them to him?" And the disciples holding this, one of them holding a kid. "Oh, this kid is just so messy. Well, this one just wants its mom. This one won't stop crying. This one just needs a diaper changer to go somewhere else." Jesus doesn't need to be bothered by this. I mean, come on, we're all about theology. We're all about ministry. This is misery. And you will you'll be hard-pressed to find a greater time in the Gospels where Jesus was angrier with his disciples than he was at this point. You see, to Jesus, those little children and those parents who brought them, this was theology. This was ministry. The Word of God, where it's treasured, it pours forth the love of God into the hearts of God's people, and that love then simmers and saturates inside that heart, and it flows and overflows out from that heart. Where Jesus Christ is not treasured in the heart, oh, that's a terrible religion and theology and ministry. From the love of God, that undivided, holy, loving God, he pours forth in the Word of God the unity that he has to his people. And he teaches us with undivided hearts and souls and with all our strength. Notice the word all permeates that whole section. With every portion of our being, that we invest ourselves in this. Because we're connected to the one God who invests himself in us. One of the great ways we display that love that God has given to us and that we want to show forth is in the way we teach kids. It's in the way we treat kids. And the way, notice I said, we do this. This section from Deuteronomy chapter 6, Moses wrote. And when Moses wrote this, he wasn't talking to the Old Testament prophets in sort of an Old Testament pastor kind of seminar and workshop. When he wrote this, he wasn't talking to the priests who officiated at the temple. He wasn't talking to the royalty, the kings and the royal family. He was talking to the people. He was talking to the parents. He was talking to the grandparents, which means an application today. This section, he's not saying, I want this to be for the Sunday school teachers. I'm saying this section to the day school teachers. He's talking to us. He's talking to parents and grandparents here today. This is God's Word. From the Word of God poured forth to you, filling your heart and overflowing from your heart, God desires us in our homes to teach the next generation and to impress on them the Word of God. I don't think it gets any simpler than what Moses writes right here. He says, impress them on your children, talking about the Scriptures. Talk about them when you sit at home. A growing forward congregation is an impressive place. Because they don't just act as God's people then when they're at church. They act as God's people when they're at home. They take what happens at church and they mirror that in their home. And their home becomes a little church. Their home becomes a little house of God where God is pleased to dwell. And in that home, what's happening is impress these things on your children. He's not talking to me in this house. He's talking to me in my house. He's talking to you in your house. The Hebrew word impress means to teach with repetition. Over and over again. Wonder of wonders. The Word of God, the Bible, teaches parents to help their children memorize. This is a verse that impresses memory work. And again, it's not saying have memory work in the Sunday school, though that's just fine. It's not saying have memory work in the day school, though that's just fine. It's saying, moms and dads, you have your children do memory work on your own, in your own homes. Impress these things on your children. That means you get to be the quizzers. You get to be the ones testing. And your children get to see you don't just know this from your head. They're seeing you practice these things with your heart because you truly believe it. Over and over again, you're repeating this, helping them to learn God's Word and helping them see why they want to carry it out. What a beautiful passage then in Hebrews when it says, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. It's not just talking then pastors and teachers. What a neat thing then when our kids remember their own parents who knew the scriptures and lived it, who saw that in their grandparents because it was in their hearts. What an impressive place our homes would be if our catechisms and our hymnals and especially our Bibles were as prominent as the TV. What an incredible place God would make that home and especially that congregation because they treasure the word. Honestly, that's not happening in the community. That is not going on around in our community at all. They're not reading the word. Do you know one of the things, the most frequent comments, again, setting what was said in the sermon aside, one of the most frequent comments I hear from you after you come back from visiting another congregation, one of the shake your head kind of things that you pass along to me is, Pastor, there just weren't any kids. That congregation doesn't have any little kids in it. There were no teenagers. There were no young 20-somethings. What a sad commentary on what's going on in church and even to a degree then in our society. Kids are growing up and growing away. They're moving out and they're moving on. And their parents maybe too. And they're falling away from the Word of God. Is that what's going on in our homes too? Where our kids know how to navigate their way around Netflix, but they don't know how to navigate through the Bible? Where we're training our kids to be ready for college with a good education, but we're not training them for eternity? Where we're dropping our kids off for Sunday school or catechism class, but then we're not going to church ourselves and we're not practicing it? Do you understand? Even when somebody enrolls their kid in our day school, but they don't see their own parents practicing the Word of God, kids see right through that. They can see and sniff out hypocrisy. Are we training our kids to have the head knowledge like the disciples in today's gospel lesson? But they're not getting the heart. Now, what do you think Jesus would say about that? He'd say, stop it! Let the little children come to me! Don't hinder them! The kingdom of God belongs to such as these! It's not just the little children that need Jesus and need a devotion from Jesus and need his wonderful blessing and the love that God has for them. Guess who else needs it? So do the adults! The adults need to refresh in this. The adults need to grow in this. The adults need to be reminded of this. His disciples especially did that day. Even adults need to refresh in the holiness of God and what God calls sin, because we still have it. And you need to see the incredible heart Jesus still has for us. Because the Bible speaks to it. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Christ Jesus died to save sinners, of whom I am the first. I didn't memorize those Bible passages for this sermon. I memorized those Bible passages a long time ago through a little bit of Sunday school and Bible study and day school and from Christian parents who modeled those things in the home and repeated those things. The Word of God in memory and impressing it on children. It blesses them throughout life so that they don't forget the heart of God, and so that the Word of God, in treasuring it, continues to shape our hearts to be undivided and not separated from the sin that we keep getting into, that we stay united to the grace of God and grow and go forward with Him. What an impressive family that is. Not that they're perfect, but they stay true and faithful to the perfect Lord Jesus. And on top of that, what incredible things come from that family and from that church, even for the community. That's what Moses wants to happen when he says, talk about these things when you're out about the road. When you're walking along the road, put the Word of God out in public. They're not reading their Bibles, so how else are they going to get it if God's people don't talk about these things when they're out there? You know who's great at doing that? Little kids, because they don't have a filter. And so they'll go right on up to unbelievers and they'll talk about Jesus. You've probably heard stories about that or seen that even in your own kids. They're incredible witnesses. So are adults. Talk about these things out in public. The Word of God is not supposed to be off limits. So much so that you put this on your forehead or tie it to your hand. No, you don't have to literally do that, but it's saying let the Word of God be all about you, that this is just a part of your way of life. People know exactly who you are, and they know they can have a quality discussion with you. Decorate your home with these things so that when guests come or when your kids have friends over, they know exactly that Jesus is no stranger in your home, and they might even be invited to come to a family devotion after dinner. Let the Word of God be all about you so that it blesses the community. On the flip side, one of the most frequent comments I'm getting from God's people regarding the state of our country, maybe even the state of the world in general, is a frustrating one because it continues this downward spiral and it's going in ways that are just, for the people of God, this is not right. We all sense it. We all feel it. From Deuteronomy chapter 6, God gives us something to do about it. What can we do for our country, for the world, about what's going on in it? The first thing, treasure the Word. Let the Word of God dwell in you richly. Let it saturate your heart. Let it fill you with the love of God and unite you to the Lord so that you never fall away. Let the Word of God flow out from your heart, in church, to your home, so that you impress this on your children, on your grandkids, on their friends. Let the Word of God flow from your home into the community where you serve as a blessing to so many and where others are invited. What an impressive congregation that's going to be. What a blessing to the community that's going to be. What a great place that when God comes and visits, He is going to be so pleased because He sees a people that treasure the Word, that are fully united to Him in love, and that are growing forward in Him. Amen. Please stand. May the peace of God, which surpasses our understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We join together in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
We continue with the responsive prayer. Lord Jesus, You grew up in the home of Joseph and Mary, And as a 12-year-old boy sat among the teachers in the temple courts, listening to them and asking them questions, we give thanks for the mothers and fathers, teachers and pastors, who taught us when we were boys and girls to know and love you. Lord Jesus, you chose 12 disciples to be with you and to become like you. You revealed sacred truth to them and sent them as your apostles into the world. We give thanks for the many opportunities you give us each day to grow in your holy word, opportunities that assure us of forgiveness and your constant presence. Lord Jesus, although you have ascended into heaven, you still guide your church as our great prophet and give us pastors and teachers to proclaim the good news. We give thanks for the blessings we enjoy through the public ministry of the church. Heavenly Father, we ask you to be with your child, Kurt Bulitz, the son of Sigmund and Regina, as he faces surgery in the near future. Please bless the efforts of the medical personnel and hold his family close through faith. Also be with Bob Johnson, who faces ongoing health challenges. Grant him recovery and strength according to your will. And we join to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated for our next hymn, 513. Stand for prayer. Almighty God, we thank you for teaching us the things you want us to believe and do. Help us by your Holy Spirit to keep your word in pure hearts, that we may be strengthened in faith, guided in holiness, and comforted in life and in death. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. You may be seated for hymn 516. Thank you so much for joining us for worship this morning. May God's word continue to bless you and your children. This morning we have Bible class between services. We're continuing with our unit on Zechariah, led by Pastor Miller. Sunday school continues today from 9:20 until 10:10. This week, Wednesday, we have Lenten services still. Wednesday evening at 6:30, we continue with those, the Hands of the Passion series. And then we also have an announcement from Pastor Miller here.
Thomas, if you want to come on up and get set. Just want to congratulate the Howard Grove girls varsity basketball team. We've got a couple of kids from our congregation on that. They beat Boostburg yesterday by 1 point. So that's Danny Damrow that's on the team. It's Jackie as well. And then Jackie Yancey. And then Mackenzie Holtzworth. So those three girls on the team. And they're going to state. So congratulations.
Let's see if this works. Can everybody hear me? Look at that. It's not a secret that the goal of the Growing Forward capital campaign is to raise $3 million. This would finish paying off the existing school and church and would pay for the expansion of the preschool. Next week is Commitment Sunday, where we'll bring forward the pledges received to that point. So it seems appropriate to take a few minutes to talk about giving. There are countless examples I could point to in the Bible where God talks about giving. In Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, Paul wrote, "God loves a cheerful giver." When people talk about giving to church, frequently that's being used to talk about making a financial gift. Financial gifts to the church are important. In Luke, Jesus tells us that the worker deserves their wages. Financial gifts allow us to pay our called workers. Financial gifts allow the congregation to keep the lights and the heat on. And although it's warmer today, I think we're all still in favor of heat. Financial gifts are important. But a financial gift isn't the only way you can give to the church. While frequently giving means financial giving, sometimes when we talk about giving, we talk about it in a broader sense. The phrase sometimes used is time, talents, and treasures. While financial gifts are important, service is important too. And as I've said before, a church isn't just a building. Your opportunity to partner with the church isn't limited to a financial partnership. There are countless opportunities to serve, and I'm intentionally not going to list examples here because there's so many opportunities to serve that I don't want to leave out the countless examples I will leave out of any list I give. Right now, the 7th and 8th grade class is going through a study where they evaluate their God-given talents to identify possible career paths that use their God-given talents. God has given each of us unique gifts to use to his service. We have a wonderful staff of called workers who are excellent at helping people both identify their gifts and plug those people with their gifts into opportunities to serve. As you prayerfully consider financially partnering with the Growing Forward campaign, please prayerfully consider your time and your talents as well, and how those can be used to partner with St. Paul's. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cameron. Now, Luther.
Well, thanks, Thomas. Talking about time and talent and treasure and serving other people, I mean, come on, we're talking about... Yeah, it's almost like it was planned, but it wasn't. God works in mysterious ways. So, we have a variety show coming. Right now, there's not a ton of variety. We have about 2 people signed up, give or take 1 or 2. I'm looking for a lot more people, because right now, you're currently looking at the stewardship committee doing a lot of strange things. Just letting you know, it's getting weirder and weirder the more and more we meet. So, a couple ideas to throw out there for you. Maybe your kid could take a video of them either demonstrating something, like a talent that they may have, or just show and tell, telling us their favorite kind of object, if they have a favorite Hot Wheels car, anything. We're just looking for something cute from the kids. Maybe your family wants to do a skit. If you're interested in that, let me know, because then I have a couple that I can offer you, a couple options that take very little preparation and time, and very little talent. Okay, perhaps you're a person who can do impersonations. We would love to get a video or two of that. Or if you're really bad at them, we'd love that too. Maybe you have a talent in baking and you think, well, what in the world, why would I ever demonstrate baking in a variety show? Well, I'll tell you why. Because everyone on the planet is mesmerized by this. Keep watching, it's beautiful. Oh. Don't tell me that wasn't oddly satisfying, right? Send us a picture of your best bakes. Okay, or send us your best bakes. Perhaps you do cross-stitch. Would love to see that. I don't know if that's cross-stitch. Is that needlepoint or something? I don't know what that is. Maybe you do some origami or something else. We're also going to throw out a challenge to all the families. We are looking for everyone to get involved. Would be really, really cool if we got all ages, but to do just a dance compilation video to this song, which will get you moving, I think, if it plays. Oh, the video isn't playing sound. Wait, let me get it for you. It's kind of hard to say do this dance to nothing. No, it doesn't want to play video sound at all, so, you know, whatever. But it's Can't Stop the Feeling. It goes like, can't stop. You know what I'm talking about? So we would love it if you would send us a video of your family dancing around, and then we'll just clip it together and put a montage of our St. Paul's family. And then lastly, there's also this ping pong ball challenge thrown to you from the Liz family. They would like to see if you can do kind of like one of those Rube Goldberg things with different things that you have in your house. And they've got this, there is sound, but she just said something like, do this now, St. Paul's. So, there are all kinds of things that you can be doing. We aren't looking for the cream of the crop, we're just looking for the crop. Okay? Alright, I keep hearing that the harvest is ripe.
But I don't see it.
So, see me if you have any questions, or if you just need an idea, I will find one for you. All right, have a wonderful week, everybody. God bless you.
Thanks, Mr. C. Any other announcements to be highlighted from you? If not, then please greet those around you, and God's blessings on the rest of your day.